Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. This is the third week of our Ten Commandment Sermon Series, week one. We covered the importance and the relevance of studying the Ten Commandments. It may seem like an odd series to kick off the summer with. I mean, it doesn't hardly compete with Top Gun Maverick, unless you dig a little deeper, and then it's pretty dadgum awesome stuff. These are God's 10 words. The Hebrew word translated in English as commandment is dabar, or word. So these are God's words on living into the freedom that he's provided for people. In the story of God, God saves the people from the abuse of Pharaoh. He sets them free from Egyptian captivity. And then God gives them these words about behavior designed to maintain that freedom. This order is so important. The Ten Commandments, the law, is not a means to salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. The commandments are God's guidance on maintaining that God-given freedom. Last week, we studied what is called the first table, or the vertical table, guidance on our actions that connect us with God. Put God first, according to that scripture, and everything else is going to fall into place. It also instructs us not to worship idols. Now, those are really easy words to say, a little harder to follow, because few of us manage to keep God first and foremost in our lives. We worship people, we worship places, we worship things. We just struggle to admit, and we are slow to identify what it is that we worship. If you think of it this way, where do you invest your time, your money, your thoughts? Where do you place your hope? Or where do you turn when you need comfort, when you're in despair? If God is not your immediate answer, then you are likely guilty of breaking the first two commandments. That's where the third commandment comes in. Do not use God's name in vain. We've been taught that that means don't use God's name as a swear word, don't use it as slang, and that's definitely a good practice, but it's so much more than that. Not use God's name in vain means that you use God's name in the way that it was intended. We use God's name when we need forgiveness. We call on God's name when we're in trouble, and we praise God's name when things are good. We live lives mindful that we wear the name Christian just like we wear an article of clothing. We are children of the King of the universe, bringing glory and honor to his name instead of shame. We treat people with respect and kindness. We offer the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. We love people the way that we ourselves are loved. We are people of dignity and honor, a chosen people, according to Scripture, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart to bring good into the world. That's who we are, whether we feel like it or not. That's who the Bible says. That's God's claim on every person in this room today. Finally, we practice Sabbath, and again, it's so much more than a Sunday in church. It's not only setting aside a day of the week to focus on God, to rest and to recover. It's a day that ensures that others get rest also. It's a day of caring for the well-being of others. And even more than just that, it's a whole system, a lifestyle of forgiveness and sharing and caring and stewardship. Confidence that we can stop for the day, and it's
The world's not going to stop. Confidence that as we care for the needs of others, we can trust that God will care for our needs, that He allows us to be a part of the process of making the world a better place. If you missed last week, you missed the details of how all that works, and it's really, really good stuff. I'm just so sad that you missed it. Today, we have to move on to the second table, which is the horizontal table that governs our connection with others. So first we reach up and we connect with God, and then we reach out. You see that, right? We reach up and then we reach out. The shape of the cross. Miss Brinley is going to come up and read scripture for us today. Please follow along in your Bibles as she reads.
Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 through 16. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for the reading and for the hearing of Scripture, and we pray that your words minister to our hearts and minds this day. We pray for eyes to see, for ears to hear, for hearts receptive, and for minds open. Guide us through the hearing of your word into your good and perfect will. Amen. Last week, I shared vaguely about an encounter that I had with a lady through my work here at the church who made an incredible impact on me. While I was trying to help her, she shared with me that she had prayed repeatedly that God would use her to help people, but she just didn't feel like God had answered that prayer. I assured her that she was wrong in that assumption, that even in my brief encounter with her, she had taught me many lessons and helped me grow my faith. I'm not sure she believed me, even though it was very true. Preaching sermons on putting God first and loving others as you love yourself seemed very hypocritical last week, lots of weeks actually. I can't lead you into doing something that I am rarely able to accomplish myself most days, but I was reminded through this encounter that just as God used this woman, bound to her American trash, hindered and held back from so much that life has to offer, God could use me too, just as I am. God doesn't wait until we have obtained perfection to use us for His glory. God really is in the business of turning a mess into a message, of creating beauty from chaos. It's one thing to hear those words. It's another to witness examples of that in real life and to be an example of that yourself. And that's really good news for most of us. Baby dedications are always a really big deal. Sometimes it is really difficult to organize a ceremony that conveys just how meaningful it is that these parents want to set aside an occasion to signify their desire to invite God into the upbringing of their children. That was part of my struggle last week. I mean, what actions really represent that? In addition, as I worked to set aside a time to connect first and foremost with God, I was bombarded with issues, one after another, problems of others that were way beyond my ability to fix. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here. I still have not wrapped my mind around being called to be the minister of this congregation. I sit in the office every week. I do the job to the very best of my ability, but it still seems very surreal. Every week is a mix of contradictions. It is the best job in the world, and it is the hardest job in the world. Last week, my ongoing mantra was, God, I trust you to do what I cannot do and to say what I cannot find the words to say. The one thing that I do know is that God is ever and always faithful in every situation, in every circumstance. God has never failed me. We'll circle back here in just a minute. I probably should talk about the scripture. There's a big misconception among Christians and non-Christians that the Ten Commandments are just no longer relevant. We fight about posting them in public places. Many of us seem to make the commandments themselves an idol of worship. In some minds, they were never relevant. It's just a made-up story after all. It should be given little regard. I would challenge those of that mindset to give it a little deeper study and investigation. I can't imagine that if you really dig into this story, you wouldn't find the relevance. For many Christians, the relevance ended with Jesus. I mean, Jesus came to do away with the law, right? Again, further investigation will reveal that is not the truth. Here is what Jesus spoke about the commandments. Listen to what he said about just a few. About the commandment, you shall not murder. Jesus said, anyone who's angry with father or mother, sister or brother is subject to judgment. About you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his or her heart. Do not steal. If anyone wants to sue you, Jesus says, take your shirt and give him your coat as well. Do not give false testimony. Jesus says everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. I think you'll agree. Doesn't sound like Jesus came to do away with the commandments. If anything, he seems to be saying we should put greater effort and more intention about listening and striving to follow God's word, understanding it is our ticket to remain in the freedom and the release provided by God. We have to give it our best, to give it our all, our whole heart, soul, and mind. Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments this way, love God and love others. There's another promise that we need to keep in mind. Jesus said, I go again to be with the Father, but I leave someone with you. I leave with you a helper. He'll be with you and in you, and he will guide you and teach you and equip you and enable you. We have not been left as orphans alone. We are not left in our own power and our own strength and by our own might to accomplish the big task of loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind and loving others as we love ourselves. We have someone within us, the power of the mighty God living within us to accomplish that purpose and task. Last week, we dedicated 3 baby boys. I knew the name of the meaning Theo. And I wanted to investigate the meaning of the other 2, but last week was just so busy that I did not have time. This week, that desire was still there. That prompting remained, and so I decided I needed to make time. I want to share with you what I found. Bodhi means awakening, enlightenment. I was enlightened by a few things last week. Number one, did you see how happy those 3 little guys were last week? Every single one of them, best smiles ever. Their whole faces beamed when you talked to them. What incredible joy. I was worried because one of the 3 was my own, and as amazing as that joy was to be able to be a part of the dedication of my grandson, it provided a challenge, which was I didn't want to be partial. I wanted to give each of those babies due attention. I worried needlessly because did you see the love those boys were surrounded by? Each one with sets of grandparents that love and support and encourage them. And then all of you stepped in and added more love on top of love. And that, my friends, is how the church is supposed to work. Our mission is a collective effort. We should be working together to make sure that everyone knows just how special they are, created in the image of God with purpose. We can't minister to each and every one, but together we can make certain that no one is ever overlooked or left out. The success or the failure of the body of Christ, it is not my load to carry, thank God. It is not your load to carry on your own, because no one of us can do it on our own. It is an absolute necessity that everyone work together, guided by God. I so hope that you can keep the image of those little boys surrounded by love tucked away in your hearts and minds, because God wants every person embraced that way. We are all God's precious children, all, regardless of our age or our color or our gender. We are God's children. He dotes on us just like those parents and grandparents doted on those little boys last week, even more because our hearts don't have the capacity to love the way our Creator does. He looks at you with joy, unimaginable. He has plans for you beyond anything that your mind could ever have the capacity to imagine. God wants the best for you, a future with hope and promise. God loves you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you, every fault, failure, every shortcoming, and He loves you still. God wants us to be awakened and enlightened to the truth that He placed sweet baby Bodhi in our midst to remind us of our purpose and God's great love for us. The meaning of the name Emmet is universal truth. I gleaned this insight from my connection to baby Emmet. Like most babies, choosing a name for that baby boy was a process. Tyler didn't like all of Cassidy's choices, and Cassidy didn't like Tyler's top picks. When they told us that they had picked Emmet, Rick and I both laughed because Rick's dad had a fishing buddy named Emmet, and Emmet was quite the character. He cussed like a sailor. He wore overalls. He was extremely rough around the edges, not the kind of person that you would immediately that would immediately come to mind when you were choosing a name for your first child. But Cassidy and Grandpa had this very special relationship, and I couldn't help but think somewhere he was smiling, having the knowledge of that coincidence. Cassidy was too young to have any recollection of Grandpa's fishing buddy, Emmett. Later, we learned that my great-grandpa, Swan, was also named Emmett. Now, although I should have known that, I was not aware of that. So what's the universal truth revealed through Emmett? Well, I believe connection. Connection known and unknown, seen and unseen. Could it be that God is at work trying to awaken us to the universal truth that we are all connected in and through our Creator, that we are brothers and sisters connected whether we realize it or feel it? There's another part of the universal truth that I want to highlight. There are few joys that compare with watching your children parent, especially when they do it really well. Cassidy and Tyler both get to work from home, which a big part of the time, which is one of the really good things that came out of the mess of COVID. Still, Cassidy is very intentional about making sure that Tyler gets his time with Emmett. Lots of weekends when he hangs out with us, she'll say, "We need to get home. Tyler's going to want to see Emmett today. Emmett needs to spend time with his daddy." That is our job. To connect our children, to connect God's children with their heavenly Father. There are so many ways that we have messed that up, so let me just simplify it for a minute. We just need to take advantage of every occasion to introduce God's children back to their daddy, to make absolutely certain that they know that God loves them and that God just wants to spend time with them. that we make sure that they're in places where they can experience that love for themselves. There are lots of things that compete for the attention of God's children, but nothing will benefit them more than ensuring that they have adequate time to know their Father, to understand just how great His love is for us. That is our priority. That's our number one purpose. If we set aside all else and just make sure that every person God sends our way to encounter, that it's our goal to make sure they know before they leave our midst or our presence, God loves you. Do you know that? Do you know that God knows you and God just wants to spend time with you? The rules and the regulations for remaining in those freedom, that can follow. But first and foremost comes with the fact that God saves His people because God loves His people. Finally, there is baby Theo, a very special and unique situation. I looked up the name of Theo a while back because I assumed it had something to do with God, knowing that theology is the study of God. Theo means God gift. A little bit mind-blowing. Last week, Ashley said, "Our time with baby Theo has been harder than anything I could have imagined. It has been an emotional roller coaster of highs and lows. And yet, as emotional as it has been, I would not trade a moment of my time with Theo, not for anything. He has taught us so much. He has been a revelation in so many ways. He is a God gift, a gift that requires complete trust and reliance on the gift giver. Baby Theo's future is completely in God's hands. Ashley and Heath, they have little, if any, control. They've just been given this God gift to love and to trust God with their whole hearts, souls, and minds, that He who is the giver and protector of all life is working to fulfill His good and perfect plan in Theo's life, regardless of the situation and circumstances that he will encounter. We were gifted baby Theo for an hour last week and charged to pray for him, to encourage his family at every additional chance that we're gifted, to honor the time that God has given us by doing what we have been called to do, trusting that God will use our efforts, no matter how small or minuscule, to accomplish much more that we could ever hope for or imagine. Baby Theo is representative of every person, every age that God sends our way, that our mission, and it can only be accomplished as we are a body and deeply committed and connected to God, can only be accomplished as we put God first, setting all else aside, knowing that things will fall into their proper place and order when we center on Christ. Up and out. Up and out. The message of the Ten Commandments, the ten words, that guides us into remaining in the freedom that God has given us, up and out, a symbol of the cross. Do you see why it's so hard to put all of this into adequate words? One last thought to ponder, and then I'll close. I want you to think just a minute about our music today, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee," "Lead Me to the Cross," "Still to Come from the Inside Out," and "Be Thou My Vision." These are songs that were chosen prior to hearing this message. The message was written prior to knowing that these were the songs that had been chosen. As I was typing the closing words of my message this week, I pulled up the songs just to look and see what they were. Guys, there is a higher power that is at work amongst us. In spite of our flaws and our faults and our shortcomings, that higher power is ever faithful. He loves us enough to involve us in the process of making the world a better place. said these words in my neighborhood last week. We make the world a better place as we make our community a better place. We love the world as we love those that sit next to us, that are in our families, and that God has brought into our lives. May you have eyes to see that God is at work through the others that he gifts you. May you have that ability today and every day. Amen.